I was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
So this is going off and off recording conversation.
Yeah.
So, I could pay me $100 million to move to Arizona. Blah, blah, blah.
I had said I would not move to Arizona simply because I am pale and I already don't handle the heat well. And I said, and I said, King's probably thinking, oh, you're soft. And then he said, that's exactly what you're thinking.
No, that's not exactly what I was thinking. So yesterday, yesterday afternoon, California Weather Service, whatever, Gavin Newsom is doing a thing about, hey, we want to avoid brownouts and blackouts and power outage because it's 115 degrees in Sacramento and, you know, 104 in San Francisco. And then just because Oregon has this like really pathetic little brother syndrome, Portland weather is like, oh, we just hit 90 degrees at PDX for the ninth day this summer, and now it's 88.
By the way,
cool. So you took the temperature on a tarmac and it was 90. Yeah. Just Portland to make yourself feel better that California was like, yeah, it's 117 here. And people are like, oh, 82, it's so give us winter.
It is not supposed to be 100 degrees in San Francisco.
No, that is like an acceptable response. But Portland being like, we hit 90 for the eighth day this summer, and right now it's 88.
Cool. You know what that is? You do know what that is. That's like Portland being comprised of like 75% of people from that part of California. People from California.
Laughable.
We're still from California. It's hot here too.
It's 91 for the seventh time this summer. Where, 28 other states are like, yeah, it's 119. Oregon, get over yourself. The Seattle one from last week got me. We're like, it is 82 degrees for the 14th day this summer.
Damn, that's dope.
That is not hot. But they're positioning it like heat wave 82. It's not hot.
What I'm saying is everywhere else on the West Coast is like, 82 sounds great.
That's fine. Don't position that as a heat wave. Yeah. It's absurd. Insane.
Has this not been just like a fantastic summer weather-wise?
I feel like it has
a couple
been
days
hot.
Like around 100. No, a couple days of 100, some 90s in there, but that's fine. And right now, it's supposed to get like 100 on the weekend here. But it's down into the low 50s at night because that's all I care about.
I know.
When it's 70 at midnight, I don't like it. But it could be 110 in the day. As long as it drops into the low 50s at night, fantastic. What Amen. A fabulous day that was.
Amen. Fabulous you open day. The windows, you let the cold air flow through the house. When you wake up in the morning, you close the windows and everything is great. That I absolutely agree with you.
Or Oregon, Washington can call that a heat wave. Oh, it's our 17th night of it being 61 degrees at midnight. Fuck, guys. God, touch grass. It's
guys,
alive here.
We have the Pacific winds keeping us somewhat cool. Like, tell, go ahead and complain to people who live in Texas and Arizona.
No, not even Texas. But, like, the Pacific Northwest, if you watch a Chevy commercial, they do. Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana.
Oregon, Washington, Idaho,
ask people
and
Montana. Idaho if that ninth day of being 84 degrees is a high is something to be sweltering about. Like, it's just some fucking perspective, big cities. Like, good God, sure. Portland and Seattle. But that's the thing that bugs me is they act like, oh, we're the epicenter of the heat. No, you're the coldest places in the – like. Oregon is a little different because of the coast, Portland, but Seattle, you're right on the on a sound. You are cold. Why are you talking about the heat? Go 40 miles east and it's way hotter. Go 80 miles east and you're in a desert. Stop. Just admit it's temperate. Don't try and keep up with LA. It's so sad.
All right. As we transition into sports,
It's unbelievable.
We have learned, in addition to that, adding into that, that Oregon is the softest state in these United States. Not only when it comes to weather, but also when it comes to college football. Leave the Beavers out of the conversation because the Beavers shit stomped Boise City. Yeah.
Boise's bad. Okay, fair enough.
Oh, by the way,
we brought that up, by the way, who aren't sold on.
By the way, welcome to the podcast. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's King at Dromney. He's Ski at TSB Ski. So
before you go into that,
I was just going to go into Oregon, but yeah.
No, because you brought up Oregon State. Yeah. So I think it was not Paul Buchery. He's gone. It's the guy who runs a laundromat. Can't remember his name. He works at Oregonian. He covers the Beavers.
Ken Go.
No, not that guy either. If you saw his name, I can't remember his name. It does not matter. You don't read him. I don't read him. But he's been around for a million years.
Okay.
He was like, people are saying that the Beavs might be intimidated by the 102 degree temps in Fresno on Saturday. It's 89 here. Again.
Should Oregonians just stay out of the weather conversations all the time? All right. We did get rain throughout all of June and into July. So we really need to shut the fuck up about the
heat.
You're not wrong.
On May 29th, it was 39 degrees and raining.
Yeah,
Don't normalize that. That sucks and it's gross and it's cold.
We only get a chime in when it starts drizzling in L.A. and they start freaking out about the rain. That's when Oregonians can jump in and say, it's a little drizzle, guys. Fucking buck up. Deal with it. Or anything other than a little bit of rain, we have no say in any weather phenomena.
Mentioned before, when people in Oregon, in this summer, were like, well, we had a heat dome last year. I was like, yeah, we had a 9-hour heat dome. And you're talking shit to the Carolinas on their – they're on day 14 of a heat dome. Guys, stop. It's embarrassing.
Ours was a heat dome with, a window open.
It's almost as embarrassing as Oregon football.
Almost.
Just about onto that, it was legitimately one of the worst losses I've ever seen. And I think you guys would probably agree with me. You put it out on Twitter, King, that it was the most embarrassing loss you'd ever seen for Oregon.
People were very mad at me about that.
A lot of people were upset about that. And they most of the answers they were coming back with was Boise, the Utah shit stompings the last couple of years. You know, I remember Dennis Dixon's junior year at home against Arizona. That was one of it was a game like the Georgia game where nobody on Oregon wanted to play.
But my difference there is people are bringing up teams that finished 4-8 and 5-7. Oregon was ranked 11th. Oregon
pre-season ranked 11.
When people were like, oh, that Washington game. They started a true freshman quarterback.
Ski, preseason ranked 11, but we had debates. People were having debates. This is the best Oregon defense we've seen in a long time. Yeah. And they got their asses handed to them in every fucking way. Embarrassed at every turn. The next time I see a clip of the 6'7", 240-pound tight end shucking Bassa like he was a 5'6" cornerback. The next time I see that clip, I'm gonna throw my fucking phone into the trash. I'm so tired of seeing that because it is the saddest display by a on paper really good defense that I've ever seen. To a man, not one player on that defense had a good game. Not fucking one. Everybody was embarrassed throughout the entire game. By the way, did you hear Noah Sewell's name at all? At all?
No.
Did you hear
Flo's name?
Yes, on the first play. On the first play. When he celebrated.
Targeting as well.
Yeah. Oh, on the target.
The target.
Twice.
Yep.
Yeah.
on
the first play when he did a Fortnite dance after a 5-yard Georgia run, which,
you know,
the
like
Justin Flo experience.
We're talking in week two about guys who started week one who are expected to be big time contributors who are might not play again the rest of the season because they were so bad against Georgia. Like Tryquez Bridges at corner was so bad against Georgia, he might not be in the rotation anymore.
I didn't have expectations for him coming in though.
Sure. Like, no, but I'm just saying.
But like, yes,
I'm just saying I'm giving examples. You never heard Dorlis's name? Dorlis made zero plays. Nobody on the defensive front got pressure at all.
I don't even know if DJ Johnson played defensive end or tight end.
I remember pointing out a play.
There's one play from DJ on defense.
I remember pointing out a play to you guys during the game where Oregon blitzed all three of their linebackers. Flo, Sewell, Bassa, all blitzed. And they got no pressure. Like Stetson
Bennett, 2 5-stars and a 4-star.
Stetson Bennett is sitting back there like throwing to whoever he wants. He's like, oh, okay, no, the right side. I don't want the right side this time.
This was a 7-on-7 drill for Bennett all night.
It absolutely was.
I don't think I've been this duped before.
Agreed.
Because we did say, all right, we thought the offense was a question mark. The defense was going to be the strong suit. We did have the question mark of the linebackers in coverage is a big problem.
Yeah, Georgia knew exactly
Kirby Smart,
what they were doing
with
that.
And their offensive coordinator, because they barely ran the football. And they just ate up the middle of the field with linebackers in defense. They didn't have to run the ball. It was 3 yards throwing the ball. Because like you said, there's a lot of quick throws, so you weren't going to get pressure. And then when they had to sit in the pocket a little longer, they just didn't get there. And it was passing drills for Bennett. At will passing.
And they were giving him cushions.
10 to 15 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So this was, I don't know if this was just, you know, Lanning's first game just getting abused by a more veteran coach. Was this Lupoi never being a defensive coordinator and not knowing what the fuck he's doing?
No, Tosh has been a D coordinator. Just Nick Saban after like 6 games was like, you're not calling plays. We'll pay you like a DC, but you are not calling plays because he's not good at coaching. Tosh Lupoi is not a good coach.
He's a defensive line coach is what he is.
He's a recruiter. Yeah. And if you look at 247 Sports Composite, he doesn't even recruit people anymore. Did get us a 3-star.
But there was no second half adjustments. And the defense, I mean, I brought it up before where they lost their left guard and their left tackle. And I believe their other most of their linemen are all sophomores, really. And they just absolutely handled the front for the Ducks. And I don't even think the receivers were that good. They're just wide open.
By the way, to your landing point, I never want to hear anybody bring up the Chip Kelly thing again either. Because like so many people were using the argument like, a lot of people are forgetting Chip Kelly's first game as Oregon's head coach against Boise State.
They
lost by 11.
It was a close
11?
Game.
Yeah.
Oregon didn't play well.
The offense was terrible, which was the most surprising part. So,
but the defense
similar to this, like Oregon's defense was expected to be good, but they were terrible in this game. But I'm saying that game was at least close. Like Oregon makes a few plays, they can win that game. Oregon was out of the Georgia game right away. Like as soon as Nix threw that pick. So by the way, the first pick was incredible. Like that's not his fault. It was the fault of the play call to throw a fade pattern to Seven McGee, who was like 5'2". Yeah. Like you don't call that play, first of all.
The throw wasn't bad.
The corner made an incredible play. By the way, corner playing in his first ever college football game made an incredible play. When that happened, Georgia goes down and scores. Game's over. The game's over.
14-0 at that point.
So then Nix throws his second pick, which was decidedly worse. And then the game
that
is
one
really
was.
And then you're
did
like,
you,
oh, okay.
Did you guys see the CBS Sports or ABC? No, I think it was CBS. Yeah, because they do the SEC. They threw up an Instagram reel of Kenny Dillingham in the booth And one of the plays was that second pick
where he said, "Bo, Bo, yes,
Bo, Bo." Like, yeah. Yeah.
That's great. The most obvious thing. If they drop back into a zone like that, you don't hit that route. Because the whole point is that they have to be pressing on you. So you fake that bubble screen and then you hit the guy in the seam. But if they're not pressing on those guys out there, there's four guys sitting back where you're trying to throw the ball. But I will say, I think the Ducks offense is getting a little more heat than they should. I don't think the offense was super bad. They had 100, they moved the ball. They didn't score. They didn't have the big play, but they were consistently moving the ball for three quarters.
Yeah, it was a little easier to move the ball when it was 35-3 after 2 minutes.
Towards the end.
But yes, I did not hate the scheme on offense. I may not think the quarterback is very good or any of the running backs, but technically Oregon ran for more yards per carry than anyone in like 3 years in Georgia.
Yeah. Dollars had a couple good runs.
Right.
I mean, at the end,
you just look at them and you're like, are any of them? Oregon's had some really good running backs.
I was really confused about how they use the running backs. That's the thing I didn't get at all.
Well, Cardwell had to be.
He must have. Is he shaken up?
No, he had to be like a disciplinary casualty.
Say what?
Possibly,
why? What have you heard?
I haven't, but I'm just saying he was like third string and he's not hurt.
Byron Cardwell is like one of the most mature guys on the team.
I'm just saying, like, he may have showed up late to Bible study or something because the rotation made no sense.
None
whatsoever.
Because
going into it, did anyone think Cardwell was number three on the depth chart?
Not at all. Like, exactly. Cardwell is the starting running back. But they went with the dude from Minnesota, and then I don't know who the second string guy was.
He was Western Kentucky.
Western Kentucky. I don't remember who that person is. I don't know who that is.
His last name like Whittingham or something?
Whittingham.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
He came with the running back coach, basically, essentially.
So he's second string ahead of Cardwell. Okay.
Coach Lachlan. Yeah.
See, but I could understand Irving. I mean, he had like 600 yards rushing as a freshman, true freshman. So
yes.
Could he have progressed more and got the start? Yeah, that makes sense. But to not use Cardwell really at all.
Yeah, by the time
I don't think that was even the problem.
By the time it was time to use him, the game was out of reach, and they're not running the ball anyways. So
I don't think the running game was really a problem. I thought the offensive line played pretty decent.
Okay,
well enough.
Walk got injured in the game too, so he didn't play like the whole second half. So I mean, they were down him.
I think
they played okay.
I don't know
except for the tackle. Who kept going, kept doing false starts, and kept getting his ass handed to him.
Sala stinks.
And he was supposedly one of the strong points of the offensive line. That dude had a horrible game against Georgia.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, but you were saying.
I don't know if you guys kind of come up with a solution to this, but was the problem play calls? Was it Nick's? Or what I think the major problem was is that the wide receivers could not get open to save their lives. I know Georgia's secondary has, what, 3 first-rounders in there, which makes it difficult to get open. But did you guys see an open, like, someone get separation as a receiver for Nicks?
No, I did not. But Bo Nicks also bailed on a lot of routes, like, real quick, which is a Bo Nicks thing. It's a Bo Nicks thing where he thinks he's Russell Wilson back there a lot. And I, so, you know.
The thing I read about the Bo Nicks thing was that he makes up his mind before the play starts.
We did see that once.
I'm throwing this seam route automatic. Doesn't care about the coverage. So I think that, I know that's what, you know, I think it was Auburn fans were saying.
Yeah. That's the national talking point. That's a national talking point too, is that this has been Bo Nix for his entire college career. He has not changed from year one to year now. He has not changed at all. And so Oregon knew what they were getting. This is what Oregon's getting. Nothing has shifted. He still telegraphs passes. He still makes horrible decisions, way more horrible decisions than good decisions. And it's going to cost you in games like this because he cannot beat teams like Georgia.
Well, I mean, but not many people do.
Not many people can.
No.
I feel like in the last 2 years, it's been Alabama has beaten them twice.
Yeah.
Georgia beat them once in the national championship game, and I don't really remember who they lost to other than
not that. Not to be overlooked, and we should probably talk about the other side of the coin, which is that Georgia is really good.
Oh,
but like not to be overlooked is the fact that Georgia absolutely shit stomped everybody they played last year. Not even close. It was like 30 points or something was the average margin of victory or something for their game.
That's what we didn't know is that they lost so much.
Yes.
How quickly could these new guys jump in and be the same Georgia?
Well, we know now.
Mark. Why I think all three of us liked, well, two of us liked Oregon with the points, and one of us star picked Oregon to win. But I was going to be given bonus points. Hell yeah. But they were, you know, first game of the year. It's a quirky game. A lot of new guys out there. We didn't fully know if Georgia was going to be what they were like last year, but do we still know? Was Oregon that bad?
No, I think we know. I think we know. Georgia's a machine. At this point, we could just admit they're a machine.
Somehow the AP still doesn't have them number one.
Which I don't quite get because they beat Alabama in the title game last year. How do you not start them off at number... it's very bizarre. But my most concerning thing about the game was how slow the Oregon defense got play calls in.
Yeah.
Because there were a couple plays last year against Ohio State that were more dramatic. One was a touchdown and one was a 30-yard play where they isolated where the players were still. And it happened quite a bit against Georgia. And Georgia was just going 9 yards a play, so it wasn't as visually gross, but it was so constant where players were looking and signaling and Georgia was just going it snapped the ball. And I don't know. Dan Lanning could be the worst coach in the world. He could be the best coach.
We don't know,
but there are enough assistants and I've griped about Tosh and Demetrius Martin. We have proof of concept with those guys at this point where they're recruiters. They're not coached like on-field coaches. And I think we really saw that against, the second, we'll give Alabama the benefit of the doubt, the second best coaching staff and roster in the country. And
well, they're not good enough to stop bleeding. Cause a veteran coach out there knew what he's doing. Could have stopped the bleeding a little bit there. I mean, did Georgia punt at all?
On their eighth drive, and the Georgia fans gave Oregon
they cheered
the defense. Yeah. There's your embarrassing. That was when I saw that because I was watching but not intently at that point. But that caught, I was like, oh, what's the cheering?
You know what that is? It's NCAA tournament. Cheering for the 15 seed.
Yeah, when the Spiders. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, the manager came on the court and shot a 3-pointer. He didn't make it, but he shot it. Oh.
Yeah.
You've brought up this as one of the worst Oregon loss. I will say this. I will agree with you in that how methodically Georgia just destroyed the defense.
There's been games,
there's been some bombs and missed stuff. It was just 9 yards, 12 yards, 13, 10, 9, 8. Stop them for one. It was every play was just methodically, a thousand needles to death is what it was. And there was nothing they could do about it. There was no stopping.
That's why the word is embarrassing. Because there have been worse losses than this.
Yes.
Much, much harder to take, sadder, devastating, horrible losses than this.
Yes.
This is the most embarrassing because they never had a chance.
Well,
I don't even think it was embarrassing. I don't think it was as embarrassing because they didn't have a chance. you know, this was just pure precision death by Georgia to the Ducks.
No one was
sad and embarrassed. It was just like, holy shit, that just happened.
And what really pours the salt in the wounds is Georgia pulled a lot of starters on offense with 2.5 minutes left. They did some wholesale changes so Stetson Bennett and company could get a standing ovation coming off the field. And
pretty early in the second half, too.
Yeah, it was like with 3 minutes left. And I think Georgia only scored one more touchdown. But we can all be well assured they would have scored more than that if they had.
I do know on the defensive side, Kirby did not want to give up a touchdown there.
No. He is a much bigger asshole than I had figured, because you know he did pull the starters on offense, but he was not letting Lanning score a touchdown.
He was not going to hurt those defensive stats for his team.
Yeah, and I say
that
asshole
number
in a
one
good
defense
way.
Like last year.
I mean that in an endearing way. He's
and honestly, I can respect pulling your offensive starters and leaving your D out there. You got to earn touchdowns at least.
Yeah,
you don't need to like just drop an 80 bomb on them. So
I was not mad at that at all. I'm with you.
No.
Where do you on go to from, where do you, Eastern where do you Washington.
Where do you, yeah, where
boy. Do, this, so, it's one game, right?
Do you? So, that's my question: is do you do the freak out thing and start making big changes? So obviously, we've talked about a couple of defensive positions. They've already made the changes. There are guys who are probably not going to play much anymore this year. But what do you do? Like, you thought the offense was okay, Ski. Do you make changes to the offense? Like, where do you go from?
Not after that.
Okay. So
here's the thing you change.
Yeah.
Stop scheduling these fucking teams week one or week two early in the season.
Agreed.
Do Alabama schedule the biggest cupcake so you can have a, you know, semi feel good and see what they do against not elite company yet.
Stop
That's
playing
the end
these,
of the season.
Stop playing these teams, period. Stop playing them.
In
Georgia.
Fairness, when they did schedule this game, Kirby Smart was getting beaten by Ole Miss by like 40.
He was. Yeah. Because it was all like 6 years
boy,
ago. So
that changed fast.
And isn't it supposed to be Texas A&M or something? Didn't they have to change it or something?
No, that was a couple. That's
a couple
cycles.
Years ago.
Yeah, okay. That cycle's gone.
Was that a. No, I was going to say that wasn't Ashford. What team's Ashford for?
Auburn. He was part of the 3-for-1
trade.
Right?
He was a trade.
Yeah. Ashford, DJ James, and Jones, the big D lineman guy.
Yeah, whatever.
Jason, yeah, whatever.
Did we at least
Oregon,
did we
Oregon
get like
lost
a,
the
did
trade.
We get a washer and dryer in the deal at least?
Yeah, jeez.
Maybe something in that deal that was good for us.
I will say, if Oregon loses this next game, which they shouldn't. They're 21-point favorites. They should win by more than that.
Cooper
Cup. Actually, back to your point, Braga.
Cooper Cup and Vernon Adams are not walking through that door.
Well, thankfully, we had Vernon Adams when we played. Because if Vernon was throwing to Cooper that game.
Holy shit.
Yeah, holy shit.
Yeah. I will say to your point, though, Braga, back to Knicks.
Andrew Walter stuff.
This
8 touchdown
this
passes.
Could, this could be a game you throw. Use Ty Thompson some.
I just think he's not court, good.
Just,
that's see, the
well,
thing.
Let's so, see. Or Butterfield. That's
okay. We don't need to see Butterfield.
Well, okay.
Come on.
This is the talk after the game. This is the obvious talk. And I keep hearing from everybody, and I was sort of buying into this train of thought as well. I keep hearing from everybody. It's like, well, now we've seen two coaching staffs who have told us that Ty Thompson is not a good quarterback. So now two independent coachings, entire coaching staffs have seen him through a training camp, through a spring, and they have determined he is not good enough to start for the Ducks. Okay, sure. Is there an argument that these coaching staffs are not good evaluators of the quarterback position?
Well, I mean, yes.
So,
yes.
So I'm not necessarily making a statement either way, because I don't fucking know. Like, I've seen Ty Thompson play against Stony Brook last year, and he was not good. That's what I have seen on the field. I've seen him in the spring game. He was average.
I feel like he played against Arizona, and after two drives, was Mario
Colorado?
Was like, get, or maybe whatever. Was yeah, one of those, like, yeah, 1-11 teams, and Mario's like, get out. Nope. AB, you're back in.
So what I have seen is that he's been average to not good in games for the Oregon Ducks. I don't know. He's a five star. He's a physical freak. You look at him, maybe he goes out there, you know, it's college, man. Well, people go from 1 year to 1 year. Dennis Dixon, junior year to senior year, completely different player. You never know until you throw him out there. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
I'm just going to say this. I know there were a bunch of teams in week one that were running two. Rutgers was running three quarterbacks.
Okay.
I don't think Bo Nix is good enough to warrant only being the only one to play.
Rutgers, though?
I said there were multiple other teams that were running, you know, at least two.
Name another one. Any other one?
Hey, Michigan started a quarterback in game one, and they're starting a completely different one in game two, and they won their first game by 55.
They're also playing Hawaii this week, so it doesn't really matter.
Colorado State last week.
Yeah,
they're playing Eastern Washington. This is one of the weeks to at least give them some fucking snaps in there. I don't give a shit. Why the hell not? What's gonna hurt?
I hear
scored
you.
3 points.
I hear
What's
you.
What's going to hurt?
So one quarter, one dude. One quarter, another dude. Yeah. I'm into it.
Oh, would you really be shocked?
You have to be a gimmick guy.
But would you really be shocked if Bo Nix went from playing the best defense in college football to an FCS team and just lit up?
Obviously.
Touchdowns.
Yes. I mean, that's.
If Coda doesn't catch two touchdowns against Eastern Washington, he's a bum. He's an absolute bum.
Oh, that was my least favorite Bo Nix pass of the day, where he tried to kill Chase Coda on long ball.
Give him a shot.
Reef. Shout out to Coda for going for it, because he knew. That's an alligator arm situation. He doesn't have a future in the NFL. That guy has got a good long career in business or doing whatever. But he still went after it. So good for him.
Male modeling. Have you seen the Coda jawline? Like, come on,
good.
Guys. Chase Coda's hair. Get that guy in some jeans and a tight white shirt. Put him in magazines. By the way, back to my bows real quick. CBS did a bottom 25 in college football. Oh, the worst 25 teams from week one of college football. I think Oregon was 11th. Most of what they said about Oregon, though, was the fact that Georgia is really, really good. That's most of what they said. So it's like, maybe we chill on Oregon a little bit until they actually get into the season. Hawaii was number one.
Hawaii's Western Kentucky at home.
Their combined scores for losses is 112-27 in the first two games.
And it's funny to say that, because
pray for Timmy Chang, man.
Because there's all sorts of analytics out there now. This is a new one for me, but it was from like Fox Sports and their Pythagorean ratings or whatever. And Oregon was 99th in the nation, and Hawaii was, I think, 86th. And I was like, I've seen Hawaii twice.
Yeah.
Oregon is beating Hawaii by 40. And I know it's just based on raw numbers after, you know, 2 weeks. But that one hurt. But, I was like, oh, motherfucker.
But is this game this week against Eastern Washington, is this, I guess, the barometer game for the season?
Maybe.
Well, it'll tip the game. It'll tip the season. If they lose this game, they're starting 0-3. They're not beating BYU. Then they got to trip up to Wazoo. So if they lose this game, they're starting 0-3 and probably 0-4. So
I'm not even saying losing this game. If they don't win by two touchdowns, I think it's a bad game.
Oh, well,
they should crush this game. That's the thing. Yes, that's they have to cover it. That's what I said about Washington's week one game. I was like, they can't just win that game. They got to win handily if they want to, you know, think they're good. You can't win close games against shitty teams. You just can't.
Yeah. If Eastern Washington comes out and starts scoring against this defense.
Well, they throw the ball a lot.
They do. It's sort of
we're on
thing.
Like year two plus of Oregon not being able to stop the pass. COVID year, Tim DeRuiter, and now this year with Tosh. Ooh, it's not looking great.
I
feel like this has been the Ducks last like 3 years, the highest secondary recruits they've had as well.
It is.
I've seen more 4 and 5 stars in the secondary.
Dante Manning's
last
5-star, doesn't even play. Yeah. Bennett Williams was a freshman All-American at Illinois.
Speaking of guys we didn't hear from at all.
Yeah, I did
Georgia,
not see him at all.
Man, that was so bad defensively. It's like Marcus Binns, like flashbacks.
Freshman Aaron Gibson.
Yeah, good Lord. Justin Finnessy's freshman year. That was bad football. This was bad football. Ugh. All right, we should probably get to line. By the way, before we get to lines, I made a list of big sports stories that we probably should talk about this week. Like Aaron Judge just hit his 55th home run. Donovan Mitchell was traded. That was a fairly good deal.
Not,
I mean, the NFL preseason had a whole bunch of injuries that are extending into the regulars. A team's starting quarterback is going to miss the first month of the season. I mean, it's the Jets and it's Zach Wilson, but still, that's a story. Who cares? I think you're right. Have you guys seen the Oregon uniforms for this week?
Yes.
They like, as we're recording this on a Wednesday, they just dropped the pictures basically on the social medias. So they're the Bumblebee uniforms that we talked about last week.
Yeah, that's,
they're like the all yellow, but they got the black pants. They got the yellow socks. And by the way, yellow fucking shoes. I don't know how many times I've seen yellow shoes before, but that's,
are they black? Are they black helmet?
Black numbers. They got the black wings on the yellow.
Black wings, yellow helmet. All right.
It's good.
Hey, I brought like up them last week. That's my favorite one is the Bumblebee. So.
I fuck with the Bumblebee uniforms.
Mm-hmm. I will just say, I'm not a fan of the willy-nilly face masks that they're doing this year. Where they're just like, it's a green helmet. Let's just throw on a yellow face mask. But it's better than monochromes. That is a nitpick. It is a nitpick.
So you got a, here, let me see if I can show you a picture, Ski, so you can actually see what they look like. Let me see how this is going to work.
Yeah, I am blind. Eh. All right. Yeah. I mean,
not bad, right?
Yeah. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I figured we should give Oregon a little bit of credit because the uniforms were dog shit last week and they're better this week. Got to bust out the big guns for the school that wears only red and has a red field. Right? Yeah. Isn't that a thing?
Can we say how funny it is that earlier all today the school was like, "Hey, our bad fans, you know, we told you to wear black on, you know, September 9th or whatever freaking day that is.
We meant
yellow. Our bad."
So all that merch you guys just bought,
Have you seen the weather warnings in Multnomah County and Linn County for Friday and Saturday?
No.
So the I know earlier winds. In the pod, I was like, 84 degrees isn't that hot. Like
thunderstorms?
Yeah, well, that and wind and heat, because it's supposed to be 100, you know. So they're saying there's like a potential chance it's the same like weather pattern we had in, you know, what was that, Labor Day weekend 2020 that started the huge fire up the McKenzie. Yeah. So that's cute.
That's fun.
Yeah, that's fun. That's cool.
It's a global warming apocalypse, and we're right in it.
Yay!
Let's do lines. Hey, everybody, we're in the apocalypse. Let's do a bunch of lines. I mean, let's do lines.
Lines, lines everywhere. Lines, Ski's reading lines and snorting lines on a back of a Villanova player, because that's what his jersey is. Yes. Lines.
Kerry Kittles, baby.
Hell yeah, Kerry Kittles.
All right. So, week one.
I'm surprised we didn't have a surprise top top, what is it, Villanova? Top three Villanova basketball players of all time.
Dante DiVincenzo.
DiVincenzo. And last place is King.
From last week. So our results from last week. And by the way, at Mike Booble, thank you for, again, compiling the list and keeping track of all the points. Really appreciate that.
Who's a compiler?
Anything that means less work for us is always appreciated.
Then Braga, you got 7 points.
Okay.
And I'm just running away with it out the gate. I got 10 points. We all
7 points over... out of 7 points out of a possible infinity, basically.
If Oregon
had won, I would have gotten all their points. Man. Should I get the negative 49? Should that be the thing? The negative points?
Yeah. Point differential minus.
I got the huge minus. I'm the Oakland A's midway through the season.
Yes. Okay. First game. God, there's some rough ones here again this week. We got Southern Utah at Utah. 44.5 points. I mean, I am going to go with Utah after that devastating loss to Florida.
Utah, yeah.
I also have Utah. That was one of the more surprising, you know, games of the opening week for the Pac-12.
Didn't I have Florida? I wasn't surprised.
I think you did.
I did. Yeah. It wasn't surprising to me.
Well, no.
I had A. Rich. A. Rich is my Heisman front runner. Been saying it for years now.
Yeah, for sure. Seen it coming for years.
Here's one of the interesting. We got Wazoo traveling to Wisconsin. Badgers 17.5 point favorites against the Cougs.
I got the Cougs covering.
I got the Badgers covering. Cougs could barely cover. They didn't cover against Idaho, right?
No, they did not. That was
closer than it should have been.
That was 28.5.
You picked Idaho, right, Ski? Didn't you pick Idaho last week?
I picked Idaho, yeah.
You did, yeah. Fucking hell, man.
Yeah, they only won by a touchdown.
You had a good week.
I'm with King. I'm taking Wisconsin. Let's see. Wisconsin. All right.
By the way.
Next game.
By the way, 44.5 point favorites. 44.5. Las Vegas is saying Utah is a 44.5 point favorite. Okay.
And Southern Utah won their first game too.
Can we acknowledge like a
D3 team, but
that's a lot of points for Vegas to say that someone is a favorite.
Just wait.
An 0-1 team against a 1-0 team.
Do you remember Oregon playing Southern Utah?
What was the spread there? Like 60?
Let me see if I can find it.
probably around 50.
Yeah, you try and find that. Ski, give us the next game.
Yeah. Next game, we got Colorado, who, not good, going to Air Force. Air Force, 17.5 points. Pac-12, no respect here at all.
I can't find the spread. Sorry, but Oregon did win by 56, 77-21. Royce Freeman went wild.
In the quarter and a half that he played.
I'm taking Air Force. Colorado's bad.
17.5. Air Force is the favorite over Colorado.
Yes.
Oh, God. Yeah, I got to go Air Force. I really have Colorado an 0-12 watch.
I can't believe this.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah, Air Force. Yeah. Why would anybody buy Colorado right now?
No. Next thing, we got UNLV going to Cal. Cal 13.5 point favorite.
Hammering the Bears. Got Marcus Arroyo, not a fan.
I am star picking Cal here.
Okay, I will star pick Arroyo. That one too. Yeah.
Arroyo. Ooh, they won their first game.
They did.
They played Idaho State, but
I also have Cal. I think I'll save my star pick though. Boy, all these Mountain West, like future Mountain West conference matchups.
Go Ducks.
This is fun.
So Oregon looked like a Big Sky team last week. Just in fairness.
Nah, Big Sky's good. They don't want Oregon or Nebraska.
All right, next thing we got Portland State going to UW. UW 28.5 points.
Didn't Portland State beat San Jose State?
No, they did not.
They did not. They covered.
They covered, okay. But they did not win.
I got UW.
I got UW.
Yeah, so do I. This is. I'm going to have to pick some crazy ones here. Here's one I'll change it up. Alabama State goes to UCLA. UCLA is a 50.5 point favorite.
It's going to be too hot. Too hot. LA. So yeah. Alabama State loses by 49. Give me the Hornets. I think they're the Hornets, right? Yellow Jackets. I feel like they're an annoying insect.
It's definitely they are the Hornets.
Yeah, yes. I know my HBCUs.
I got UCLA.
Here's what I'm taking.
I got UCLA covering this.
I'm taking Alabama State 2-0. Alabama State.
Stingers and it is gonna be up, hot. Baby. Stingers up.
Yeah, they're gonna get up by 3, 4, even 5 scores and be like, it's fucking hot. Let's just take a knee the rest of the way. Let's call it.
Lock do Hornets sting or do they bite? Did I get that wrong?
Hornets bite.
Stingers up, right? Okay. Biter is up.
Hornets Hornets and wasps, they both bite, right? Isn't that a thing? Do they?
No, they got big ass stingers, don't they? Like,
well, the Hornets definitely have a stinger. The Hornet definitely has a stinger.
The Hornets think wasps bite.
Wasps bite. That's why they're so annoying. It's
They die. They just keep getting you. All right. Poor Pac-12. Arizona State goes to Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State 11.5 point favorite.
Yeah, Oklahoma State.
I got Arizona State, and that's my star pick.
Ooh. Emory Jones and the Devils head into Stillwater.
After what I said about Arizona State being dog shit last week, too. Isn't that great?
Hey, you gotta chase points somewhere. We all do.
Yeah.
They won 40-3. So at least you got that going for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma State did drop 58 on Central Michigan. So I'm taking OK State as well.
the Central Michigan win was your giveaway.
You don't just let the Chippewas walk into Stillwater, you know?
Clearly.
All right, here's another, out-of-conference game. Mississippi State goes to Arizona, and they are a road favorite, 10.5-point favorite against Arizona.
Arizona covers.
Easy. Arizona wins.
Bear down. Oh.
They're my cats. Hashtag my cats this year. I am buying in on everything. Jed Fish is
swimming with the fishes.
That's right.
All right, well, we're playing a number game here. I'm taking Mississippi State here. Don't love it, but that's the play. First Pac-12 matchup, USC goes to Stanford.
Stanford.
Very weird thing. SC's only an 8.5-point favorite.
You want to know
USC.
What? I'm going Stanford because this will ratchet up. Is Tanner McKee a first-round pick?
Very much USC.
I'm with you, Braga. Extreme USC. Stanford's not good this year. They're just not.
But is Tanner McKee a first round? And we got it with Davis Mills too, and he beat USC.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Davis Mills, a middling of the road NFL quarterback.
Yeah,
right now.
Absolutely.
Is this like a one of those deals where Stanford, for some reason, whenever they play a really good team, and I think we can say USC is probably a really good team this year. Whenever they play a really good team, they always seem to like win for some reason.
Be up for it.
Yeah.
They're always up for those games.
Yeah. Did you guys see, I know you guys didn't watch USC and Rice because
No.
Did you guys see their 3 pick sixes?
They had three
pick sixes, and they were all like absolutely hilarious. Like, one was like, okay, he jumped the route, but it was a really bad throw. Mm. And the other two were just like a guy was standing there in zone and it got like bobbled two or three times. Like, oh shit, right in my breadbasket. I'll run this in.
Catches it running the other way on this bounce like that.
I would love to see how many games previous USC had had a total of three pick sixes. Because they're not having three the rest of the year. There's no way. It was just very funny.
Must be nice, like getting turnovers.
Well, that turnover? What the hell is that?
That must be cool. What is that? Man, I bet that helps out the offense. Nice.
They really cooked rice.
Oh, little steamed rice.
Burn them.
Yes, put all a little teriyaki on that burned rice. Get some flavor.
All right, now we got the closest game of the week. Beavers are a 0.5 point favorite going to Fresno.
I don't even know if Fresno won last week. They could have lost by 1,000.
I'm going
Fresno. Who'd they beat?
Ooh, I don't even know what.
It's probably like UC Davis. Cal Pomona Poly.
It is Cal Poly. They beat Cal Poly. They beat Cal Poly 35-7.
Oh, well, that's not great. I'm going to go the Bulldogs. Valley Pride, baby. Throw up that V.
I'm taking the swimming Canzanos. I'm going with Oregon State. Because Oregon is a state. So you can call them Oregon State.
I'm going Beavs as well. I actually think the Beavs defense is okay. And I don't think Fresno's offense is very good. So that's
the end. You guys are going against Jeff Tedford?
Definitely.
Not my Jeff Tedford. Oregon State's defense got a lot of turnovers last week. Like, I mean, City's not good, but still. They played pretty well.
Did Boise State's guy throw three straight picks?
Like on three straight passes?
Three straight passes. I think he might have thrown.
Yeah.
All right.
The game turned when the quarterback threw three straight interceptions on consecutive
still
passes.
Still Brett Rippin?
I think he's in the NFL, isn't he?
Is he? I don't know. I feel like there's got to be a
I think
Rippin.
He's a backup for somebody in the NFL, legitimately.
It is.
Finding that out.
There's Bachmeier and Taylen Green.
Hank Bachmeier is still there. Holy shit. Okay. I changed
four
it.
Of eight. Yeah.
Oh my god. I feel like four Hank of eight.
For Fresno?
I feel like Hank Bachmeier is the guy that beat Florida State in week one or two like 5 years ago. Like Willie Taggart's like second year when everyone's like, well, shit, yeah, he's not going to work.
No, he threw two of those picks and then the other guy came in. I think it threw, that's what I said. I think it was three picks and three throws, but only two from Bachmeier. Yeah, he had only a great, great stat line. 4 of 8 for 30 yards and two picks.
Hey, so. He could start for Oregon.
Yes. All right. Speaking of Oregon, last game in Eastern Washington at the Ducks, 21.5 points.
I'll go to the Ducks. A correction game. Georgia's really good. I don't know.
I'm taking the Ducks because they have to slaughter Eastern. They got to win by as many points as possible.
I'm not sure how to pick this one because I think Oregon's offense is going to score a bunch of points. I saw nothing from their defense against Georgia that tells me they can stop anybody. And by the way, Eastern Washington is sort of known for their offense, and they have been for a long time.
I think their quarterback threw 5 TDs. That was a close-ish game, but the quarterback threw 5 TDs in the game.
I'll go Oregon.
Maybe the biggest flip-flop ever from Oregon straight up in Atlanta they don't cover three touchdowns against
you saw what they did. There's a fucking reason.
By the way, in 2019, Hank Bachmeier went into Tallahassee. I remember this now. It was like a hurricane game. So it was supposed to be played in Orlando and they moved it to Tallahassee and there were like 19,000 people there and he threw it 61 times. one touchdown, one interception. Nice. But the Broncos won.
If you're Eastern Washington, do you not throw it 80 times against Oregon?
I threw it 61 times and touched it.
You do that against Oregon. You have to. Oregon can't stop the pass. Very clearly. All right.
Thank you.
Anything else? Before we get to some trivia?
Eastern Washington quarterback threw the ball 46 times in their week one game. So he's going to be pushing 50 at least in this game.
I think I read that he's like 5'8", which is kind of fun.
I think that's what
Gunner Talkington.
I think that's what Flo is, by the way. Like, looking at Flo next to the Georgia players, he looks so fucking tiny. It's the weirdest thing ever, because we know Flo is like this huge muscle-bound like freak. But looking at him against Georgia, he looks so fucking small. It was amazing. Okay, sorry.
I feel like Sewell looks a little small too, but...
Yeah, they all look terrible. Every single one of them. The future NFL linebackers look like high school linebackers.
All right, let's do some... I don't think Sewell's an NFL linebacker.
Well, I mean, he didn't look like one last week.
He would have been in the 80s and 90s, but not now.
I think Georgia knows a thing or two about NFL linebackers.
Someone will draft Sewell way too high in the first round, and they'll hate him within 8 weeks.
Seeing as all of Georgia's linebackers from last year are in the NFL currently. Okay, let's do some.
I think Sewell has to go a reverse Urlacher, except for he can't cover anything is his problem.
No,
but he needs to go play strong safety. That's where he needs to play.
You said it. He literally cannot cover anybody, so that's that can't happen.
Yeah. That's what he has to do.
Okay, good luck with that. All right, Eastern Washington trivia. You guys ready to learn something about Eastern Washington?
Go Eagles!
Sure.
And we're gonna do this correct this time, unlike last week where I was giving you guys the options right off the bat. So I give you the question. Whoever's turn it is, you guess. If you miss it, then the next person gets three options. And that's how it works. King won last week. So does that mean he gets to go first this week? I think that's what that means.
Sure.
All right. First question, King. Eastern Washington famously has red turf on their field. They've had it since 2010. What is that turf field nicknamed?
I know it. I know it. At least I think I do.
Oh, what is it? Nicknamed?
Yeah, what is the nickname for the
Red
turf?
Monster.
Incorrect. Your option ski. The lava pit. The Inferno. Lake of Fire.
The Inferno.
It is the Inferno. Nobody goes into the Inferno and stops the powerful Eagles. All right, Ski. Who is Eastern Washington's all-time leader in wins as a head coach?
Well, I think I only know one coach's name. Oh, they have Paul Wolf.
You know two of them, yeah. Paul Wolf is not the one.
Not it.
Your options, King. Paul Wolf, Dick Zorns, or Bo Baldwin?
Ooh, that's tough, because Bo Baldwin was a name. I'm going to go Dick Zorns.
The answer is Dick Zorns.
Yeah.
By like three wins over
Hell
Baldwin.
Yeah.
It's pretty close, actually. Yeah, Wolf was the coach before Baldwin, by the way. Or Washington State swooped him up for their dynasty.
Bo Baldwin was supposed to save Cal's offense. He was their OC.
Was he?
And Will Cox fired him in like 18 months.
I think Paul Wolf, by the way, like going from Eastern Washington to Washington State, I think he moved like 20 miles. Because Pullman and the city that Eastern Washington is in are really close to each other, by the
Cheney?
Way.
Is that Cheney, Washington?
That might be a question later.
Oh, okay, then I got it.
All right, let's see. So King just got that one, and it's his turn now. Eastern Washington has played a rivalry game against a conference opponent since 1938. It's called the Governor's Cup. Who was that game against?
Fuck. Idaho State. The Bengals of Idaho State. Though it's a governor, so it's probably a Washington school. So Western Washington.
That is incorrect. Your options, Ski. Portland State, Montana, or Weber State?
I mean, only, I guess one makes sense, and that's a Grizz. Montana.
Is that your answer?
Yes, that's my answer.
That is the correct answer. Yeah. It is Montana. Apparently, Eastern Washington and Montana are rivals. Who knew? All right, Ski. Right? Yes.
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp, obviously the most famous former Eastern Washington wide receiver. He was a teammate of another NFL wideout while at Eastern. Began his career with the 49ers, now a Patriot. Who is it? Currently in the NFL.
Went from Niners to Patriots.
Yep. You should know this. Man. You're a Patriots household, right?
Definitely not. Jacoby Myers?
That is incorrect. Your options, King. Jacoby Myers, Kendrick Bourne, or Tywan Thornton?
Kendrick Bourne.
Kendrick Bourne is the answer. That's right. I think there's another dude in the NFL right now from Eastern Washington who is a wide receiver, too. They got like three current NFL wide receivers.
I think Oregon's had three ever.
Yeah. All right, King. Eastern Washington's mascot is an eagle. What's his name?
Oh, fuck.
Are they the Screaming Eagles?
Eddie.
Is that
the... Oh, and I know the Big Eag.
Eddie the Eagle. your option, Ski.
Wasn't that a Taron Egerton movie, Eddie the Eagle, and like Hugh Jackman?
I don't know.
I think it was.
I'm so glad I don't know the answer to that. Your option, Ski. Swoop. Iggy or Baldwin?
I'm definitely going Swoop.
Swoop is the correct answer.
That is Swoop.
Yep. Which shoe company is Eastern Washington signed with?
ASIC.
ASIC. King. Adidas, Puma, or Nike?
Adidas.
Adidas is the correct answer.
Sorry, or as they say it in Cheney, Adidas.
You throw around those bullshit Adidas answers, Ski. Those count, man. You fucked up, son. ASICs.
Got a better chance of the Adidas.
What city is Eastern Washington in? No, just kidding. That is actually the question here, but I'm skipping over it. King, time for the alumni portion of the quiz. This comics creator wrote and drew one of the most famous Spider-Man books ever, created and wrote Spawn, and co-founded 38 Studios with Kurt Schilling, the video game studio. Who is it? Should know this from Spawn.
What the fuck is Spawn?
Oof.
Stan Lee.
Jesus Christ. Ski, do you know the answer? Just curious.
I do not.
Okay. Your options. Grant Morrison,
Warren Spawn?
Todd McFarlane, or Frank Miller?
Frank Miller? No, there's no way Frank Miller did Spawn and Sin City. I don't want to go Frank Miller. Sure.
The answer is Todd McFarlane.
Oh,
surprised you guys don't remember that.
Yeah, I do know that name.
Yep. It's from Spawn. Pretty much it.
I mean, unless it's Michael Jai White, I don't care about it.
If he ain't Michael Jai White, I don't give a damn.
Mm-mm.
All right, Ski. This radio show host, famously from Washington, has been a mainstay on national radio for the last 30 years.
sports or not? No hint other than just.
It's funny. I almost gave that answer away. Like
this radio show host is famously from Washington. Has been on national radio for the last 30-ish years.
Softy.
National radio. Softy. Okay, Ski. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Ski. We're just throwing around dumb answers. You're just not going to take the quiz.
Throwing it out there.
All right.
Nope.
King, do you know the answer?
I mean, listen. Like, it's if you are an auto dealership in Omaha, Nebraska, and you've got a Lincoln Riley now in L.A., and I'm Colin Cowherd. This is Herd.
You are Colin Cowherd. Yes, you are. That is the answer. All right, last question. Ski can tie it if you get this wrong, King.
And I only know that answer because Cowherd claims he's from Seattle, Portland, Tampa,
yes,
Vegas, L.A. That's how I am. Like, you fucking Cheney Washington.
He's famously from Seattle, though. Like, that's where he is.
Which is not very close to Cheney either.
No. All right. King, Eastern has been around as a football program since 1901. How many national titles have they won?
Three. Duh.
Duh. Winning. Incorrect. Ski, your options. 1, 4, or 7?
Love Juggernaut.
This, love this.
Seven Eastern Washington titles.
It's one, isn't it?
It's one.
Was it low? Who was the quarterback? Tell me it was like Bo Levi Mitchell from a while ago.
It was 2010. I'm not sure who their quarterback was.
I think that was Bo Levi Mitchell. SMU transfer.
I think you're right. I think you're right, by the way. So because I looked this up. They beat Delaware in the Natty.
Oh, the Blue Hens.
They scored 20 unanswered points to win 20-19. Pat Devlin was the quarterback for Delaware in that game.
For the Hens.
That's right. All right, King, two in a row.
Oh, buddy.
Gee, falling behind. I mean, you're leading picks. At least you got that going for you. But, man, you got to figure this trivia shit out, man.
I mean, if you start giving good questions, I mean, ASIC is clearly the correct answer for the shoe brand.
Is ASIC a Eastern Washington-based shoe brand?
It's,
no idea where ASIC is from.
Yes, it should be.
Let's just say yes. Yeah,
there more people in Eastern Washington wear ASICs than Adidas or Nikes. Let's put it that way.
We're a New Balance region over here, son.
Oh, definitely.
All right, let's do our list. Got about 5 minutes.
ASICs, a Japanese brand.
Are they?
They are. I mean, if everyone knows, Eastern Washington people love the Japanese.
Yes.
So
yes, yes. I mean, two peas in the same pod, Japan and Eastern Washington.
It might as well be called Little Tokyo. That's how it is.
Yeah. Cheney, Washington is Little Tokyo. Yeah.
Little Tokyo, yes.
Just don't call it Red Tokyo. Let's not call it that. We're not calling it that. All right, what's our list?
So tonight's list is three historical events worse than Oregon versus Georgia.
Bigger natural, not even natural, bigger disasters than Oregon's loss to Georgia. And we should probably preface this by saying we're not actually serious. This is a dumb fucking list. That's the point. The point is this is a dumb list. My number three, I'll start it off. Pol Pot. Cambodia massacre. 2 million people died, which is about a quarter of the Cambodian population at the time. Worse than Oregon.
Yes, it is worse. I mean, that is a factual statement.
Then Oregon's lost to Georgia.
My number three, because there's a lot of racism involved. The 1980s AIDS epidemic.
Yeah. All right. My number three.
Took
he
Magic
didn't see
Johnson
it coming, and
us.
We. Oh, he did. We didn't see the Ducks getting slaughtered like they did, and he didn't see it coming. The Lincoln assassination.
But other than those first four quarters, how was Saturday, Dan Lanning?
Yeah.
Needed a bigger hat, man. Needed a bigger hat. He's got all that hat and it couldn't stop a bullet? Come on, man.
I think he had a giant dome, which is not a good thing if you're
trying to avoid
assassinations.
By the way, we're saying that is worse than Oregon's loss to Georgia. Yeah. King, did you give yours?
I did.
He did.
You did. Okay. My number two, Genghis Khan killed 75 million people in his conquests. 75 million is a lot of people. Also, allegedly birthed about 75 million people in his conquests. So it kind of evened it out.
You know, I saw him at CPAC in 2015. They said he was a good leader.
Great, great leader.
Yeah. Influential.
My number two.
Motivator of people.
Is the Wilhelm Gustloff Deadliner shipwreck. Still, to this day, the deadliest shipwreck in the history of shipwrecks. Wow. In 1945, that German ocean liner was killed or shot by a Soviet sub in the Baltic, the icy Baltic Sea. I mean, can you imagine going down the Baltic Sea?
Boing.
Can you not?
I can't. By the way, worse than Oregon's loss to Georgia.
All right. My number two, a battle that was as lopsided as the Oregon-Georgia game. In 52 BC, the Battle of Alesia, 12,800 Romans died to 250,000 Gaelic warriors.
God, how many times are you going to bring that up, Ski? Jesus,
why they got to be Gaelic?
You whine much? God, man.
You don't just roll into Rome as the Gaelic warriors and think you're going to come out with a W.
Sure don't. Again, worse than Oregon's loss to Georgia. My number one, the Black Plague.
Why's it got to be black?
Sorry. The African. No, I'm not going to say that.
Mark it. Scrub it.
Not even as a joke.
Scrub it. Cut it.
Not even as a joke. Not funny. 200 million people over a few centuries died from the Black Plague. You know what fixed the Black Plague? Made it sort of go away? Quarantining people and covering people's faces. Weird.
Oh, we're being muzzled.
200 million people. Worse than Oregon's loss to Georgia. Okay.
My number one event. Worse than Oregon versus Georgia. January 14th, 2014. Don Pelham named University of Oregon defensive coordinator.
Worse natural civic disaster ever. Don Pelham.
All right. And my number one, you know, it was just another September day when the elitist West Coast people decided they were going to just traipse into Georgia and look for a W. And that was the Battle of Chickamauga, which was the first battle in the Civil War, which the Confederates won.
On the old Chickamauga, rolling into Cleveland to the lake.